9:13. Dean Richards, Sunday morning. WGN. And may the force be with all of you today.
Do you remember the 20s like our version little, of this?
20s like our little baby Yoda on the show.
The full-length version of this was pretty cool. This kind of summed up the entire movie.
Well, you did love to live on Rush Street back in the day. I know you were always at Faces.
I was at Faces.
Remember that famous disco club?
With Faces? The lighted floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was our version of Saturday Night Fever.
There was also one close to where I grew up called the Poison Apple.
Oh, the Poison Apple. Is that in Indiana?
Actually, I think it was just right over the line around the Chicago Heights area.
Right around Cal City?
No, not Cal City. Further from there, Chicago Heights.
Right down the street from some of the fine dance clubs that they have.
That was family entertainment there.
Yes, it was. If you were in the Manson family, it was.
Nice. Oh, real nice.
It's a lovely area. I haven't been there in a long time. I'm sure it's very nice. I had a big Star Wars week this week. I interviewed the... Can you hear that? Oh, wait, yeah. I know what that is. You know what that is? That's my phone.
It's not me.
That was my phone.
Huh.
A real professional would have put his phone on silent before he came into the show here today.
Now, like you said, you were taking notes. You were too busy.
I was very, very busy putting the last-minute touches on today's script.
We noticed you weren't here for rehearsal either.
I pretty much have the show memorized by now. So I had a big Star Wars week this week. I interviewed the cast of the new Star Wars movie this week. That's exciting. That's super exciting.
You know what's exciting, too, is that 40 years after the first Star Wars, you still have this amazing connection to Star Wars.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I know a lot of people that... let me put it this way. I know a lot of people have not seen one Star Wars movie.
I've seen one.
Yeah,
the first one.
A lot of people just...
Not even the original?
I saw the original. Yeah, I saw the original waiting in line at the Gulf Mill Theaters. Way back in the day.
And then just not interested in seeing any of the others?
Yeah, just didn't really do it for me. There was no baseball in it.
Yeah, that would have been good if they had some sort of intergalactic baseball.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I know a lot of people that have zero interest, or they saw one movie and they're like, I don't see what the big deal is. Whereas me, I get emotional when I see it. When the trailers were first released, I literally was in tears at my desk watching it.
Wow.
I can't wait.
Wow.
It's the final movie.
Yeah, this is the end.
Of the full length of the franchise.
Of course, they've said that other franchises.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. But, I mean, they're spinning off like crazy. Now that Disney owns it, you know, they have rides now at Disney World. They have this Disney Plus cable platform that they have now with this Mandalorian, which is Star Wars based. I mean, there'll be plenty more Star Wars content. But this franchise, as we know it, the saga, the original saga. And if you think about it, it'll be 9 motion pictures when this final one comes out on December 20th. This will be the 9th, which is a little bit unprecedented. And we didn't see the movie. That's very unusual. Normally, before you interview the cast, you see the movie. So you've got, you can say, hey, what about this scene? What about that scene? But they're too afraid that the dopey reporters are going to spill something.
Didn't you have a story last week about an exclusive showing with a person who was granted?
Yeah,
terminally ill
cancer patient. Yeah. Got to see it. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know what happened to the terminally ill cancer patient, but what the hospice where this patient was living said was time was not on the side of this patient to wait to see the movie when it opens on December the 20th. So I think that was very nice that they let that person and his family see the movie. But I got to talk with, Lando Calrissian, the great Billy Dee Williams from the original movies. I got to talk with Daisy. I got to talk with John Boyega and Oscar Isaac. And go down the list of the cast. We talked to them, and the director, J.J. Abrams, you know, arguably one of the most successful and powerful film directors in America, in the world right now. And he jumped in on this controversy about Martin Scorsese. You know, Scorsese recently said that Marvel movies are not cinema, that they're amusement park rides, which has gotten a lot of controversy. So I asked J.J. Abrams how he felt about that. You know, since he's the director of one of these big action movies, how he felt about it. I think you'll find his response pretty interesting. We're going to play that coming up in our next half hour. So that is coming up. I also talked, Shwani, you're going to love this. I talked with Clint Eastwood this week.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Eastwood. He's 89 years old. He's directed a new movie.
Yeah, and Richard Jewell.
About the Olympic bombing from 1996?
96.
1996 in Atlanta. I was on the air here on WGN when that happened. I remember I was doing a show, and the bulletin came over, and we went into bulletin mode, you know, like we do when there's breaking news. But I remember that day very clearly. But it's the story of the security guard who was accused of setting off the bomb, and how the FBI was convinced that he was the person who did it. The newspapers in Atlanta at the time pretty much accused the guy of doing it. Turns out that he was cleared of all charges. I mean, it's not a spoiler for the movie. It's history. I think, you know, anybody who remembers that story remembers the outcome of it. But it's a very compelling movie, very interesting movie. Clint Eastwood talked about it. The actor who plays Richard Jewell in the film, whose name is Paul Walter Hauser. I talked with him. I talked with the co-stars in this film, Kathy Bates, Sam Rockwell, John Hamm. We're going to share those interviews with you throughout the morning. We've got a lot of good stuff between now and 11:30, an early off time today to make room for the 49ers and the Saints, who will play, and you'll hear that coming up on WGN. Plus, we're super excited. At 11 o'clock this morning, we'll be joined by Chicago's very own Jane Lynch, who you now see on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You see her on
Hollywood Date Night.
Hollywood Date Night.
Yeah,
she's
fun show.
Super popular. Love her and everything that she's in. She's coming to Chicago to do a big Christmas show. So Chicago's very own Jane Lynch will be joining us in a little while. And ask me what I'm doing on Tuesday night this week, Shwani.
Hey, Dean, what are you doing Tuesday night?
Oh, hanging out with Julie Andrews.
Oh, well.
Hanging out with Mary Poppins. Hanging out with, how do you solve a problem like Maria?
Hanging out with Eliza Doolittle.
Eliza Doolittle, right? Exactly. The legendary Julie Andrews is going to be at the Chicago Theater on Tuesday night.
She still looks great.
She looks
amazing,
fantastic. I can't even tell you how excited I am about this. They called me and asked me would I like to host a Q&A with Julie Andrews. What am I going to say?
Yeah, what are you going to say? No to
no,
that?
No, well, I've got something else to do.
Who? Julie Andrews? I got to watch Big Bang Theory reruns. Julie Andrews. I'm going to do a Q&A with Julie Andrews. I'm super excited.
I would have stayed home and watched Andy Griffith.
Well, that's any day for you. Only if the Three Stooges weren't on.
Well, you know, I can TiVo that.
Look at you with the fancy TiVo. Like you even know what that word means.
I know. It's not a word. It's an acronym.
Yeah. Well, is it really?
I think so.
What does it stand for?
TiVo.
You're listening to Dave Schwann's Technical Hour.
Uh-huh.
It's a new show here on Sunday morning.
He is not Mr. Fix-It.
Is it? Is it an acronym for something?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out.
I honestly don't know.
Let's find out.
What does TiVo stand for?
Are you asking one of those
Yes.
things?
Yes.
I don't want to say the...
Television in, video out. Oh, it makes sense. See? I was right.
Television in, video out.
TiVo.
I get it. I get it.
Don't get so angry about
it. TiVo.
Wow.
He's a little upset.
Defensive. Television in, video out.
Yep.
Okay.
And that makes sense.
Do you have that at home?
I do.
Okay.
See? I had to do some, you know, some considerable rigging to make it fit with the 1971 Zenith, but
it doesn't work with a lot of old black and white sets. But
with his clicker.
Shwani got it. He's not paying for it either. He's stealing
it from...
I got
out my soldering iron and made an adapter.
Stealing it from his neighbor, but nonetheless, he still has it, which is nice. Julie Andrews, Chicago Theater, Tuesday night. Tickets are available. This is what's going to happen. They're going to show highlights of her career up on the big screen. And then Dame Andrews will take my arm, and I'll bring her out to the center stage. We'll sit in a couple of comfortable chairs.
You better wear a tux for this,
have a chat.
Friend.
You think?
Yeah. I think so. Dame Julie Andrews, I think you should, there's formal attire.
Or as I like to call it, Dame Julie Andrews.
I think formal attire is
Dame,
in order.
Brother Julie Andrews.
Hello, Dame.
Maybe I should dress up like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins.
You can step in time.
That would be, there you go.
Wouldn't you be impressed?
And then start in with Chim Chimney.
Hello, Julie. Da, 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 step in time, da, 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 step in time. I'm out of breath. Or dress up like one of those penguins.
You can really impress her by spelling supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, say it backwards, which I'm sure she can do.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to talk about Mary Poppins, Sound of Music, Victor Victoria, My Fair Lady, everything. We're going to talk about her entire career. She's got a new book coming out. And you, as an audience member, if you join us at the Chicago Theater, you'll be able to... write down questions and submit them, and then I'll ask your questions on stage of Julie Andrews. Try to hold your excitement.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so. So
I was thinking of a question I could write.
Well, you know what? Why don't you think for a second? Let that steep for a moment.
Okay.
And we're going to take a break, and what I would like to do is open up our phone lines, both the regular telephone lines, but also the... what do you call it? Text line.
Yep.
What do you kids call it?
T-E-X-T.
What's that an acronym for?
Text.
What would you like me to ask Julie Andrews is my question. You can text or phone in. I'd love to hear from you this morning.
Add a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful.
929 Dean Richards Sunday morning, WGN.
In a most delightful.
Get ready for my big night. Julie Andrews be doing a Q&A with the legend at the Chicago Theater. It's 7:30 this coming Tuesday night. Tickets are still available. You can get them through Ticketmaster, Chicago Theater, box office, all the usual places. Love for you to join us. A lot of people on our text line saying, I'll see you there. So we'll definitely look forward to that. And I said, where are some of the questions that you've got for Julie Andrews? Some people asking, do you get together with Carol Burnett at all? I happen to know the answer to that question is that they are very, very good friends. And they do get together, actually, quite a bit. Somebody asking, will you ask her to sing a little bit for at the show? I will not be asking her to sing because, as you may recall, several years ago, she had surgery on her vocal cords. And it has sadly left us with one of the most beautiful voices of all time, one of the most beautiful singing voices, unable now to hit some of those notes. So Julie Andrews no longer sings, very sadly, as we know from all the great songs that she's given us in motion pictures and on stage through the years. Here's one that says, I saw Julie Andrews in Camelot on Broadway. Very nice. Here's one that says, did Julie Andrews have to compete for the part of Mary Poppins with other actresses, and who were they? That's a great question. I don't know if anyone else was up for the part. I do know that when Julie Andrews was on Broadway doing Camelot, that Walt Disney happened to come to the show and went backstage and offered her the job of Mary Poppins. So I don't know if it was a one-and-done kind of deal or there were other actresses that were, you know, in the mix. That part, I do not know. But yeah, I'm definitely going to ask that question. That's a great one. Thank you. 39 degrees outside right now. And as all America knows, it's time for the Fart Flung Forecast, the award winning. Swanee, what would you call it? Featurette?
I would call it a featurette.
Infotainment?
Infotainment, featurette.
Time killer?
Yes, a time filler. Or maybe killer was more appropriate.
Ladies and gentlemen, the keeper of the far-flung forecast, Mr. Dave Aloysius Swanee.
I've been called many things. That's a new one. Today we go out to Hyde Park, New York.
Oh.
Hyde Park, New York.
That's where FDR was. That's where he lived when he wasn't in the White House.
You are so far ahead of me here. You're absolutely right.
Oh.
Population.
Did I spoil it?
No, you haven't spoiled it yet.
Oh, okay.
No, you haven't. You
not
haven't.
Yet.
But we're,
give
you know, that was that is the key reason why we bring up Hyde Park, New York. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, born in Hyde Park. He is also buried there at Springwood, his estate, which is now run by the National Park Service. He and Eleanor Roosevelt, his wife, are buried on the grounds. Population of Hyde Park is 21,048. Hyde Park, New York. Let's clarify that. Not the South Side.
Not the neighborhood.
Not the neighborhood.
Not
right.
Where you go to Valois for breakfast.
No. Where?
Valois. Have you ever been to Valois?
I have not.
Valois is a fantastic cafeteria style dining.
Where is it?
53rd Street, right off of Lake Park Avenue.
53rd and Lake Park.
Yeah, basically. It's like maybe a half a block west of Lake Park, but it's right on 53rd Street.
All right. I'll see you later. I'm headed down.
It's been open there. It's been open for decades. When I worked at the A&P grocery store back in the day, I would go there and get my breakfast once in a while.
Okay.
It's where a young community activist by the name of Barack Obama frequented also when he lived on the South Side.
I wouldn't be at all surprised that he would be there. But Hyde Park, New York.
New York. Yes.
New York is in what they call upstate New York. It is north of New York City.
Hoity-toity.
But you are, it is an exclusive area. But you're absolutely right, Dean. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, born there in Hyde Park. And we bring up Hyde Park and FDR because it was on this date in 1941 that he made his what is now known as the Day of Infamy speech, asking Congress to declare war on Japan after the attack the day before on Pearl Harbor. Let's listen.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Now, in that same speech, he asked Congress for a formal declaration of war against Japan. Several hours later, he had it. It passed. There was only one dissenting vote.
Who voted against?
Jeanette Pickering Rankin, who was a representative from Montana. She was a women's rights advocate at the time and also a lifelong pacifist. So she wanted nothing to do at all.
Anything to do with war,
even though
we had been
war.
So brutally attacked.
Exactly, exactly, yes. But she was the only person that voted against declaring war on Japan.
Interesting.
On this date in 1941.
I never knew that. I thought about it. I mean, the actual attack date anniversary was yesterday, December 7th.
Right.
As he says in his speech, and after you have been to Pearl Harbor in Oahu.
Oh, that is
in Hawaii.
You will never forget that.
You will never think of this day of infamy again in the same way. When you actually see, what it looks like, and the memorial and the USS Arizona that you can still see submerged in the water. It's heartbreaking to watch it, and you see all the names that have been engraved on the memorial that's there. So I'm glad that you included that today. I was going to later on as well. So we never forget that date. These are important days that we should never forget. And
absolutely right.
The brave men and women who fought and lost their lives in that particular attack, but the so-called Greatest Generation If we don't stop and think about them every single day, we are being ungrateful.
And when you go out there to see the Arizona out on the boat, I don't know, our group was silent. No one talked. Same. No one talked when they were on the monument.
Same.
And coming back, of course, even more so.
Yeah, very reverent. They show a film.
Oh, that film is unbelievable.
Before you go, go out to the memorial site, to the site of the Arizona, you sit and watch a film that kind of recreates what happened that Sunday morning back in 1941, and it's brutal. It rips your guts out watching it. And then you go out to the area where it actually happened all those years later.
And, you know, the thing also about that movie that struck me was they talked about the night before. Mm. You know, a perfectly wonderful Saturday evening. There was a dance, yep, entertainment, and everybody just went back to their quarters,
right,
to, looking forward to, well, what they thought was going to be a nice Sunday morning.
Nice, peaceful Sunday morning.
Exactly.
People waking up very much, you know, like a Sunday morning in Chicago. You know, everything's kind of slow and lazy and... You know, people getting started very slowly. It was very much the same way there until planes started flying overhead.
Yep.
Hyde Park, New York has sunny skies today and 22.
You know what else I saw when I was in Oahu?
What else? I think I know what you're going to say.
What?
The harbor where Gilligan's Island was shot.
That's right. So that and the hotel where they shot the opening.
Did you happen to see the original SS Minnow docked up at all?
The hotel where they shot the original opening of Hawaii 5-0 with Jack Lord.
Did you stand outside? Did you stand outside and yell, "Fuck 'em, Dano"? You didn't do that.
Other people are going to see volcanoes and the natural wonder of Hawaii. Hey, look! There's where they shot Gilligan's Island. Dope. Dopey.
They should have a statue.
They should.
Of Gilligan, the skipper, too. The millionaire and his wife.
The professor and Marianne.
Don't forget the movie star.
Movie star, yeah.
Oh, right.
Ginger's got to be in there.
Yep. Yep.
They should have a statue to them there.
They should all be there on the pier as they're walking into the boat.
With a coconut radio.
Getting set for a 3-hour tour with a coconut radio.
Yeah. Turns out I'm not the only dork in the bunch here. Yeah. Okay.
What did you think you were?
not with you two in the building.
I know what you're thinking, Punk. You're thinking, did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself in all this excitement. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Punk?
The great Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry. Clint Eastwood, now 89 years old, and has directed his latest motion picture, which is called Richard Jewell. The story of the falsely accused security guard who is the subject of great investigation and accusation following the Atlanta Olympic bombing from back in 1996. Richard Jewell in the movie is played by a young actor by the name of Paul Walter Hauser. Paul Walter Hauser, very nice young man, was able to actually sit down with both Paul and the legendary Clint Eastwood and talk about the movie. Turns out Paul himself had quite a bit of Chicago history.
I immediately just have to say hello to Chicago. I love the city of Chicago. I have great memories of the city of Chicago.
Give us your little of your Chicago history.
Oh, goodness. I went to school at Concordia River Forest for about 3 semesters until I dropped out to pursue this. But the pizza at Giordano's, the games at Wrigley Field, the comedy shows I'd see at the IO Theater. City, I have great affection for it. And
the
it's
wind people off the lake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, walking to your mailbox like this.
Right. That's what happened to my hair. The wind off the lake. I had a full head of hair before
That weather will kick your butt.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the day like when you get a call from Clint Eastwood saying he wants you to star in his movie?
If it were Clint calling, I probably would have hung up and assumed someone was doing an impersonation over the phone. Yeah. Thankfully, it was my agents calling, telling me that Clint was interested in myself and some other folks for the roles in this film. And it was hard to believe, and yet, you know, I had also worked with some great guys like Craig Gillespie on Itania and Spike Lee on BlacKkKlansman, and I thought, maybe this is the next one up. Maybe it only gets bigger. Clint Eastwood, and then, I don't know, probably no one at that point. Yeah. Clint's kind of the top of the chain.
Right.
But I was very much nervous and reticent because it was such a big calling to portray a real character in a Clint Eastwood WB movie, but thankfully the team put me at ease when I met them.
Yeah. Clint, aside from actually telling the events of Richard Jewell from 1996, is there more of the story that, is there more that you wanted to tell with this? Is it a story about the failings of the FBI, the failings of the media,
those failings are right there. They're part of that. They're part of that I just wanted to tell it within this story. I didn't want to go out and judge mental too many things, though there was a lack. And I just wanted to get over the fact that it's important to really check things out properly rather than go running off flying half fast.
Yeah.
You know, it ruined a person's life. I'm sure they shortened his life for Richard Jewell. A lot of things happened, and that shouldn't have happened to a guy, especially to a guy who did such a great job when he was called upon through his efforts, probably saved a lot of lives. And then to turn around and be dumped on like society did with him. Is no good. I wasn't trying to make any statements, particularly, except that it would behoove anything, whether it's a law enforcement agency or whether it's no matter what it is, that our Constitution of the United States of innocent until proven guilty should be constantly aware of all the time, and they shouldn't rush to judgment.
Yeah, but this movie, though, does really point a finger. It illustrates the FBI's quickness to accuse Richard Jewell really only on circumstantial evidence. And the media, the same thing. Media got a tip that the FBI was interested in this guy, and the Atlanta Journal Constitution, the big newspaper in Atlanta, they ran with the story really only on circumstantial evidence and really destroyed this guy's life. The movie will be opening next Friday. I'll tell you much more about it. Between now and then, we'll also have interviews with the supporting cast. Sam Rockwell, who plays Richard Jewell's attorney, Kathy Bates, who plays his mother, John Hamm, who plays the head of the FBI, working on that investigation. Very, very interesting. One of the interviews that I did this week. The other was, maybe one of the biggest movie events of the year. The new Star Wars movie, Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, which will open on December the 20th. We sat down and talked with the entire cast, and we'll be sharing those interviews between now and December 20th. But I wanted to just play a short clip of my interview with the director of the movie, the great J.J. Abrams, because a couple of weeks ago, Martin Scorsese went on record saying that he thought that Marvel movies were not cinema, that they lacked heart and soul and story and conviction and were really just amusement park rides that a lot of people took objection to. I happen to disagree with that as well. If you look at the final Avengers movie, there is no story which is more full of heart and soul and all the things that Scorsese talked about than you will find in that Avengers movie. But I was very interested in what J.J. Abrams thought about Scorsese's comments. He's one of the most successful directors of all time, one of the most influential of all time. So I thought it would be really interesting to find out what he thought of Scorsese's comments. Big movies like this, and effects-driven movies especially, have gotten kind of a bad rap lately, that they're theme parks, that they're not stories. How do you feel about the big movie taking its place among great filmmakers?
I love movies. You know, I love cinema. And it's sometimes a story calls for it being a visual spectacle and not much more, I suppose. You know, sometimes it's not meant to be visually spectacular at all, but deeply emotional and deeply meaningful. And other times it's somewhere in the middle. You know, you look at what Scorsese said about the Marvel films. You know, he just made a movie that happens to use visual effects, you know, in a massive way, but does it in a very in a sort of invisible way, or is intended to be invisible way. You know, obviously, the comic book films are not meant to be, you know, without their visual effects. Like, they are comic book films. And I think that there's a gamut of types of movies. I think to say one is cinema and one is not cinema isn't quite fair. I think that cinema hopefully is big enough and broad enough that it can contain all sorts of storytelling. And I just know that in the case of this film, our goal was to tell a deeply emotional and moving story that happens to have visual spectacle, but not to make something that is all about the visual effects. The visual effects were always at every turn for us serving character and story.
J.J. Abrams, director of the new Star Wars movie, Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, talking about the Martin Scorsese controversy. Very interesting, I thought. We'll have more with J.J. Abrams in the weeks and days to come. As I've mentioned, we talked with Daisy Ridley, plays Rey in the new movie, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, the great Billy Dee Williams, who is back in the franchise as Lando Calrissian. We talked with the entire cast. We'll share those interviews with you exclusively here on your WGN. The movie opens, by the way, on December the 20th. Let's take a quick break. Schwandy will update the news. We've got Jane Lynch joining us live this morning. That's coming up later on WGN. Trying to plan your day, trying to plan your week. We'll get meteorologist Tim McGill joining us right after our 10 o'clock check of WGN News. Also coming up in the next half hour, our Week in Theater segment. If you're looking to take the family to a holiday production, holiday stage show, we've got Deb Clapp, who's the executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters, has a long list of great shows that are currently up and running in Chicago. And on my Dean's List A-List interview for today, a live visit with our friend Jane Lynch, who you know from so many television projects, currently in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She's bringing a Christmas show to Chicago coming up in the next week or so. Hey, Tim McGill, how are your isobars doing this morning?
Mine are rising.
Oh, well, good for you.
I don't know what that means, but I think it's good.
I think that's, nobody wants to hear of anyone's isobars drooping. No. They only want to hear good news. It's actually kind of pleasant outside, I think, right now. A little windy, but
yeah.
I guess compared to the way it's going to be in the next couple of days, we should enjoy what we have right now. Huh?
Yeah, well, most of us are sitting around 4 or 5 degrees above freezing, and that's above our average high already for the day. So that's not bad. And we've had, I think, 15 straight days, temperatures at or above average. That streak will continue today. It'll continue tomorrow, well into the 40s. And I don't want to be too dramatic by saying the bottom will drop out. It will turn a lot colder Tuesday and Wednesday. But I was surprised to see that it won't be the coldest of the season so far. We actually had a day in the middle of November we didn't get above like 17 or 18 degrees. So
yeah,
it's not going to be
that bad.
Remember
that little patch that we had there? Is that when we had the snow also?
Yeah, we did.
Was it right around then, right?
Yeah, and I remember because I flew into O'Hare that day and the plane was like going all over the place. Ooh. But today and tomorrow we're looking at mid-40s today. A little bit breezy, as you said, Dean, but the winds will die down. It's going to be kind of a gray, gloomy day for us, 46 today. A little bit of light rain, drizzle tonight, a little bit of patchy fog. And we actually hold pretty steady. We might drop into low 40s and then climb. By tomorrow, we could get up near 50. Patchy fog in the morning tomorrow, light rain, drizzle, 47. The cold air arrives Monday night into Tuesday morning. Now, what will happen is a cold front will come through. It could change this rain over to snow briefly or some freezing drizzle. But all the models I've looked at don't spit out anything more than maybe a tenth of an inch of snow, and not much. So Tuesday, partly to mostly sunny, blustery, colder, 26. single-digit lows Wednesday morning, 8 or 9, mostly sunny, 21 for the high that day. And then Thursday, we're already back above freezing. Well, 33, partly to mostly sunny. We'll be up near 40 degrees, looks like, by Friday. So a couple of really, really cold days, and then we bounce back again.
And the precip possibilities for the week sound like pretty low.
Yeah, pretty low. Just tomorrow, a little light rain and drizzle. Just a couple chances. If you're a snow lover, I'm trying to give you hope, and there isn't much. But Monday night and Tuesday morning, there could be some spots north of the city get a dusting. And then looking further ahead, and I got to look really far ahead, and the next Saturday, it could be a little bit of rain changing over to snow. But if you want snow, go up to the Northwoods of Wisconsin. They've got winter storm warnings going. They've been hammered this winter. They're going to get another 6 inches of snow or more later tonight and tomorrow.
Well, for all of you that want all that snow, that's where it is for you.
go find it.
I think all the rest of us are just enjoying the way that it's been right now.
Absolutely.
So we'll be happy to take all of that. All right, Tim, well, thank you for the update there, my friend.
Okay, take care, guys.
Good to talk to you. Tim McGill, meteorologist with the latest. We'll keep you posted on WGNradio.com and the WGN weather app. You can get information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's 10:10. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
You jump into the car with your briefcase, rushing to an important business meeting, hit the garage door remote, and nothing happens. Now what?
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green tea.
Hi, it's Tonya Khoury for my family business, Green Tea Services. Right now, we have a garage door maintenance special. Our trained technicians come out and adjust the springs, check the cables, inspect the rollers, tighten hinges, and give your door and opener a complete lubrication. All for just $47.
Service to a
green tea.
Garage doors fail when you least expect it. Don't get stuck in or out of your garage. Call for our $47 garage door maintenance special. Call Green Tea now for details. 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green
tea. 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA. Or greenteaservices.com.
Diamonds, the timeless gift. The Jewelry Exchange imports diamonds direct and has a huge stock with razor-thin margins. The Jewelry Exchange has thousands of GIA diamonds, all guaranteed the lowest price. Some restrictions. Half-carat certified diamonds are $7.90, three-quarter carat $12.90, and one-carat $19.90. One-carat certified diamonds mounted in 14K designer rings $24.90. We manufacture most of our jewelry, and no one comes close on price. Multicolored stackable diamond bands are $149, one-carat three-stone rings $7.90, two-carat $19.90, and one-carat top white studs are $5.99. The Jewelry Exchange now carries a full line of lab-grown diamonds. Diamond solitaires are just $1.99. 1 carat earrings, rings, and pendants, $2.49. 2 carat, $4.99. Only the Jewelry Exchange guarantees its jewelry to appraise for double. That's right, double. Some restrictions. Buy factory direct and save. The Jewelry Exchange in Villa Park, 630-530-0444. The Jewelry Exchange in Villa Park, 630-530-0444 or jewelryexchange.com.
Once upon a time, there was a sleeping beauty waiting for her prince to wake her up with a kiss. But the castle furnace went out, and Sleeping Beauty was shivering.
I can't stay sleeping. It's way too cold in this castle.
Hi, I'm Dick Hatchchild, owner of American Weathermakers. We're the 60-Minute Men, always ready to come to your rescue 24-7, and we never charge for travel or overtime. If your furnace breaks down, day or night, we'll be there in 60 minutes, or you get a free $60 gift card for repairs. We fix it right and offer a lifetime warranty on our repairs. Call us for details.
The moral of the story? Schedule your American Weathermakers furnace tune-up now. And like Sleeping Beauty, you could be sleeping comfortably and happily ever after.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
Call toll-free.
855-955.
AC. Or visit AmericanWeathermakers.com.
Name that tune. It's the theme from Family Classics on WGN-TV. The long-running movie series originally hosted by the great Fraser Thomas and by the great Roy Leonard. And now we are bringing family classics back to WGN-TV. We've got another one all scheduled, set, ready to go for you this coming Friday night, December 13th, in primetime, 7 to 9 p.m. We're going to be running the great Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire movie, Holiday Inn. I'd like to bring as many of these great old classic films back and play them for you on free TV. And, yeah, it's a little bit different than back in the day. When, back in the day when there were no cable channels, there were no streaming platforms, you know, there were, you know, it was just free TV. That's all there was when Frasier and Roy were bringing you these, you know, great movies like The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn and Boys Town and My Friend Flicka and Shenandoah, Mysterious Island. Go down the list of
you
all.
You just named one of my favorites.
Which
right
one?
There. Mysterious Island.
Mysterious Island is a great,
great movie.
Fantastic movie. Boys Town was my favorite, and I've been pushing to see if you know, somehow we would be able to show that. But the problem is with all the cable channels now and all the outlets that have purchased the movie rights to these movies, there aren't as many of the movies that we want to play on family classics still available. So we've got some good ones. We've got two or three that are going to be coming up soon. And Holiday Inn is a great one with Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire. Very interesting story about the making of the movie. When we show the film, you know, during the movie, I'm on what's left of the original family classic set, the original set that Fraser Thomas used. The same books, the same chair, the whole deal. And I tell little interesting stories about the movie, you know, and then say, you know, well, let's get back to our feature. Now we'll be back after this. And now, if you're quite ready, let us begin. Remember, that's how Frasier used to kick the whole thing off.
And they would roll a real piece of film.
An actual piece of film.
Rather than a digital file.
Actual, you're right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But, yeah, so our next one is going to be this coming Friday night. Next Friday night, the 13th, 7 to 9 p.m., Holiday Inn. And then we're going to be doing another Marx Brothers double feature on New Year's Eve. We've got the Marx Brothers movie Monkey Business, which will be on right up until 11:30, like 10 to 11:30. And then we're going to do a special New Year's countdown show with the fireworks that are going to take place downtown Chicago. I'll be hosting that with Anna Balaval and Sarah Jindra from the WGN Morning News. And then when that's over at 12:15, we'll be showing you Marx Brothers Animals Classic. So we've got a Family Classics, Marx Brothers double feature on New Year's Eve / New Year's morning, just like they used to do back in the day on WGN-TV. Shwani, don't you think that most people will be pretty much sick of me after all those, you know, hosting the Marx Brothers?
Well, you
and
should
the
see
countdown
the, you
show?
Should see the messages we get in the newsroom about this. I'll just say that.
Okay, that's
no.
Fair enough.
No.
It's fair enough.
No, really.
Because honestly, I'm a little sick of myself, to tell you the truth. I can't imagine how anyone else must feel.
Quite the opposite. I hear all the time about what we do on Sunday mornings and what you do on TV and the fact that everybody likes the fact that you've brought back family classics. A friend texted me the other day about Bozo, Gar, and Ray.
Right.
No, people aren't sick of you.
Yeah, we've got, we're going to be showing Bozo, Gar, and Ray a couple of more times between now and the end of the year. We've got, we just ran this past Friday night. We did a special Bozo Circus, the 1960s, focusing in just on the decade of the 1960s with Bob Bell and Ray Rayner and Don Sandberg and Ned Locke. That was a lot of fun. So we have a ball bringing you some of these, you know, these classic pieces of Chicago television. People really seem to like them. And we're happy that, you know, the WGN is, you know, happy to bring back family classics. In a different sort of way than it used to be back in the day. We wish we could do it all the time, but they're just, you know, as I say, the way that the licensing now works with movies, makes that nearly impossible. But we've got some good stuff, though, still to come. So I hope you'll all be able to watch. I hope you'll all be able to enjoy Sunday morning on WGN. We've got the Golden Globe nominations that are coming out tomorrow morning. You know, the award season is beginning to shift into high gear. Tomorrow morning at 7:30 is when they make the announcement from Hollywood of which motion pictures and television shows, the Golden Globes cover both, will be up for award consideration this year. A lot of people don't take the Golden Globes as seriously as the Academy Awards. I have to say, honestly, I don't myself. And the reason for that is that the Academy Awards are determined by hundreds and hundreds and really now thousands of people who are involved in the motion picture industry. Producers, directors, actors, writers, go down the list. All the technicians, all the lighting people, people who have been involved in the film industry for the majority of their lives are the ones that are making those choices. Whereas the Golden Globe Awards are given out by an organization called the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And instead of it being thousands of people making those determinations, it's about 80 or 90 people, 80 or 90 entertainment reporters that make those determinations. So it's a small group of people that are making the choices. And I just don't think it's quite as credible as the Academy Awards. But it's a big award show that everybody likes to watch, mostly because they serve alcohol at this particular award show. And unpredictable and crazy and alcohol-soaked things tend to happen during the Golden Globe Awards. So that's why there's some interest in that. That's why we'll be covering the nominations when they come out tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV morning news. I'll have all of that information for you. We'll also have, of course, the box office information about which movies you're going to see this weekend. And the movie Frozen 2 is still hanging in there as the number one movie in America right now. It is still number one at the box office. Knives Out, The Great Murder Mystery, came in the number two spot this weekend. Ford v. Fairlane, Ford versus Fairlane, not Fairlane, but Ferrari. Ford versus Ferrari is still hanging in there in the top five. So, you know, those are the big movies for the weekend. The ones that opened this weekend opened in limited release, and I think they're actually pretty good movies. There's the movie that's called The Two Popes that stars Sir Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce playing Pope Benedict and also the man who would become Pope Francis. It's a very interesting motion picture that could have very easily been exclusively about this, not completely unprecedented, but very unusual transition of power in the Catholic Church as one pope resigns from his office as opposed to leaves the office through dying, which is the way that it's been done mostly. This is a motion picture in which the then cardinal of Argentina comes to the pope with the intention of resigning his office. He philosophically disagrees with the way the Catholic Church is positioning itself and just feels like he would be better serving as a parish priest as opposed to one of the cardinals of the church. And this motion picture is about the conversation between these two men, both questioning their faith, both at pivotal spiritual moments in their lives that are very interesting. And it's a very unique look at what goes on inside the Vatican walls, something that the public very rarely gets to see. These performances are so good in this movie. Anthony Hopkins is great as Pope Benedict. Jonathan Pryce is great as the soon-to-be Pope Francis. You learn a little about both. You learn a little bit about the inner workings of the Catholic Church in this movie. So I gave it a Dean's List B+. I enjoyed it. I also enjoyed another film this week that's called The Aeronauts that reunites Eddie Redmayne with Felicity Jones. They start together in The Theory of Everything, and now they're back in this movie, The Aeronauts. Eddie Redmayne playing a young meteorologist who wants to go up into the sky to learn about the weather. She is a bit of a daredevil and takes him up into the sky in a hot air balloon, and it's about their adventure for two different reasons. It's visually, I think it's much more visually interesting than the story. The story is just fine, but it's a beautiful movie, beautifully photographed. If you're going to go see this movie, I recommend seeing it on as big a screen as possible for the full enjoyment. This one got a Dean's List B as well, called The Aeronauts, with Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones. So that's where we are with movies right now. We're going to get into theater coming up in a couple of minutes. I'm going to be talking about the different holiday productions, which are open right now around the Chicago area. I know a lot of people like to come downtown or go out to one of the big suburban theaters to see a show with the whole family this time of year. We'll tell you which ones we are recommending to you coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Many days now until, 17 days till Christmas. Even more than that if you're counting the days until New Year's and beyond, where hopefully you'll have a little bit of time off, able to enjoy yourself with family and friends, and maybe take in a play. This is a great time of year to get out to some of our local theaters. The big ones downtown, the smaller theaters, the suburban theaters, almost all of them are putting on special holiday productions right now. And I just wanted to kind of get an overview of what's out there right now and check in with our pal Deb Clapp, who is the executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters. Happy holiday to you, Deb, my friend. Good morning.
Happy holidays to you, Dean. Thanks for having me.
Always lovely to talk to you. Before we start off about, you know, what's available for people to go see this year, just briefly explain what the League of Chicago Theaters is so people understand.
Sure. We are a, in short, we are a service and support organization for Chicago theater. We do all kinds of promotional and marketing activity, and also we do professional development, and we do advocacy for Chicago theater. We have two websites. We have chicagoplays.com, which is a listing and information about everything that's playing in Chicago at any given time, and you can search it in a number of different ways, by date, by genre, by neighborhood. And then also, we run Hot Tix, which is the half-price ticketing for Chicago theater. So you can go on hottix.org and get a lot of great deals on some of the shows I think we're going to talk about.
Oh, nobody is interested in saving half price on tickets. That's silly talk. What? Save money? What?
What? What?
That's crazy talk.
I don't want to save money. It's the holidays.
That's right. So we'll repeat all those websites in just a couple of minutes. But is it my imagination? It seems like even more theaters this year have gotten into the holiday production business than even in the past.
Yeah, you know what? I was just going to say that. It seems like there's so many more shows this year. Every year it feels like there's a couple more.
Let's start off with some of the new shows this year. I mean, some of the traditional favorites are all still there. We'll talk about those in a second. But what's new this year?
Sure. There's a number of things that are new this year. Silk Road Rising is doing a show called Christmas Mubarak, which is first-of-its-kind interplay of the Quranic and New Testament stories. Mm. So Silk Road, you might know, is a theater that does stories from the Silk Road, you know, sort of across Asia. And it sounds really, really interesting. So that's one. And then Straw Dog Theater is doing a new adaptation with live music of a story called Herschel and the Hanukkah Goblins.
Yeah.
And that is a
book that they've adapted, especially for Straw Dogs. So I haven't seen that one, but I think it might be really great.
I love that there's an alternative, you know, and there's something for people who are Jewish that they can also go see a holiday show this year, because, you know, there's a million nutcrackers and Christmas carols and, you know, all the traditional, quote, Christmas stories. But it's nice that there is at least one Hanukkah story, which is out there as well.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And I think, you know, probably if we were if we would dig a little bit, we would probably find a few more that were sort of non-traditional. And I know that there's a lot of shows playing this year, too. You know, it seems like there's a lot of holiday shows, but also there's a lot of shows playing this year that aren't holiday shows, like Sunset Boulevard at Porchlight and Romeo and Juliet at Shakes and First Deep Breath up at Victory Gardens. So there's a lot going on. And out at Marriott Theatre in Lincolnshire, they're doing Holiday Inn, which isn't new, of course. That's Irving Berlin. But this is the first time they've done this production of Holiday Inn. Yeah, so and I think that would be great.
Drury Lane is doing Mary Poppins for the holiday season. The Paramount in Aurora is doing Beauty and the Beast. So while they're not holiday shows, they are still perfect shows to take the whole family. I mean, I think that's the point.
Absolutely.
You want to introduce your kids to theater. These are perfect shows, any of them, to, you know, kind of make it the introduction to many of the shows. Although, you know, we say that, and I think kids are a lot more sophisticated today than, you know, maybe when you and I were growing up. Most kids have seen Hamilton like 10 times. Right?
The teenagers especially,
right.
And talk about, you know, Six, that was at Chicago Shakes and now playing in Boston, I think eventually going to make its way to Broadway. Boy, I went to that, and the young people in that audience, it was amazing. So
the young people they know the words, they're singing along, you know, they're very avid, you know, with I think maybe the day of, you know, kids and teenagers don't go to theater, that may be gone because of lots of, you know, because of Wicked, because of Hamilton, you know, many of the shows that we've talked about. Speaking of Hamilton, that's in the final days right now, isn't it? That's kind of sad that we, after all these years, it's been a very long run, but that we are saying goodbye to Hamilton soon.
I know. I'm going to be very sad to see it go. I'm going to try and see it. Well, I hope everybody's going to try and see it one more time before they leave. And I'm sure it'll come back in a touring production. But yeah, it's been really nice to have them, you know, sitting down here for so long. It's been such a great, I think it's been a great experience for everybody. And I think a lot of people who do have their first experience at something like Hamilton will then, you know, be really turned on by theater and go out and see other things.
Yeah,
so
let's hope.
So yeah, I'm sad to see it go.
Let's talk about some of the longtime favorites. Last week here on the show, we had the cast of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, live from Chicago. That is, this is, I think they told me their 18th year that they've been putting on that show, which is amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And it's such a great play. It's so, you know, it's so heartwarming, such a wonderful thing to see during the holidays here. And it's really, you know, kind of it's a very, you know, sort of a very modern production, but it really takes you back to that time when, you know, people sort of sat around there, which I'm sure they're doing right now, sitting around their radios. But that was, you know, at one time this was, you know, sort of the most popular form of entertainment, and the whole family kind of gathered around the radio and listened.
Right.
So yeah, I think this is a really wonderful show.
Yeah, it's a Wonderful Life that you know from the movies via television, but it's done as if it's an old time radio broadcast. If you were listening last week, you heard you know, them recreate some of it. It was really fun. What about some of the other? This is the second longest running holiday production in Chicago. It's a Wonderful Life. The number one longest running is, of course, A Christmas Carol over at the Goodman Theater.
That's right.
Have you seen
40 years that show has been running?
Wow, that's amazing.
Every Christmas, every holiday season. And it is such a really great experience, especially for families. I think, you know, the Goodman is all decorated for the holidays, and every people come and they are, you know, some people are dressed up for the occasion and some people aren't, but it's, you know, it's really something that I think a lot of families look forward to every single year. And of course it is, and the production changes a little bit each right. year, and I think that makes it fresh for people. And but some of, you know, some old, you know, old favorites are still there, and of course, you know, they don't change the story in any way, but I think that show is just, you know, if you're going to see one holiday show, A Christmas Carol is the one.
Yeah, they are constantly updating and changing and making it more accessible to more and mm-hmm. more people. It's one of the most diverse shows that we have in the Chicago area. So everybody sees themselves reflected on stage, which, you know, I think is something very smart and very, very special as well. That's going on at the Goodman Theater. There are a number of other Christmas carols, versions of Christmas Carol being presented. You've seen this hip-hop version, haven't you, that's at Chicago Shakes?
I have, the Q Brothers Christmas Carol.
Yeah, tell us about that, you hip-hop queen, you.
You know me. It's a hip-hop take on Christmas Carol, and it's very, you know, sort of uniquely Chicago, because the Q Brothers are from Chicago. While they tour all over the world with a number of shows, every year they come back to Chicago with this Q Brothers Christmas Carol, and they bring sort of the hip-hop spirit, the rhyming, the music, and they make it really fun, but also really accessible, I think, for, you know, so many different people. You know, the year I saw it, with, you know, a few friends who ranged, you know, sort of in age, and, you know, a couple of them were from Florida, and they all really loved it. So I think, you know, that's another one that's, I don't know how many years they've been doing it for, but they're doing it this year in the yard, which I don't believe they've done that before. And this is Chicago Shakespeare's new, you know, their new flexible space. So yeah,
I was going to say that it's got to be getting up near 10 years, I'll bet.
I think
Q Brothers Christmas Carol is being presented. It's very, very popular. And there's a version of Christmas Carol that's being performed out at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. Mm-hmm. The Brightside Theater. I'm not familiar with the Brightside Theater. Deb, where's that?
Yeah, they're a small theater on the north side. They do a lot of great work. They do a lot of educational work and work with kids. They're performing at North Central College. So.
Okay.
And I think their Christmas Carol will also be really, really lovely.
Yeah, theirs is a musical version of the classic story as well. Let me take a break. When we come back, maybe you can tell us about a few of the Nutcrackers that are being performed.
Sure.
Plenty of those. Deb Clapp is executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters in Chicago, ChicagoPlays.com or HotTix.com, HOTTIX.com, to get more information about shows in general or the half price tickets. Overcast and mild today, the high 45. Light rain showers this afternoon. High should be about 46. Temperatures falling through the night. Mild and showery tomorrow. I expect it to be 47 degrees. 41 is the temperature right now. Shwani will update the weather, the traffic, sports, all the news, all coming up in about 10 minutes on WGN. Deb Clapp is on with us, the executive director of the League of Chicago Theaters. Not exactly theatrical productions, Deb, but coming to Chicago this week is the great Julie Andrews at the Chicago Theater, Tuesday night. And I wanted to mention that because that's going to be a very special night. This legendary performer is going to be doing an evening, showing old clips, talking about her career. It should be a fun evening.
Isn't that wonderful? It sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm very...
I mean, the opportunity just to, you know, it sort of sounds like, you know, just a chance to hear Julie Andrews talk about her career. Wow.
Yeah, I'm super excited because I was invited to host the Q&A with her. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm going to be on stage with
her.
I'm super excited. Tickets are available. It's this coming Tuesday night at 7:30, the great Julie Andrews. And then one of our favorites, one of Chicago's very own, Jane Lynch, is bringing her Christmas show back to Chicago. She's going to be on in our next half hour with us here on the program. It's called Jane Lynch, A Swingin' Little Christmas Time, that she performs with Kate Flannery, who is Meredith on The Office, and Tim Davis, who is the vocal arranger from the TV show Glee. They are doing a series of shows at a bunch of different Chicago theaters. We'll talk about that in Batavia and Crystal Lake, among others. So Jane Lynch is also going to be in Chicago and appearing live on stage in Chicago. Really, that's what's so great, isn't it, about
fantastic.
The Chicago stages.
I was so lucky to live here.
That's exactly correct. That's really no exaggeration. People talk about, theater in New York, blah, blah, blah. We've got such great live productions happening on stage in Chicago 365 days a year. Well, maybe not on Christmas, 364 days a year.
Absolutely. I think, you know, and so many, you know, it's like Julie Andrews and Jane Lynch and so many people want to come and, you know, and do their shows here and perform here because, I mean, we have such great audiences for this amazing theater that's always happening. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like, wow.
That's no exaggeration. You know, you mm-hmm. ask any of the Broadway producers. Mel Brooks told this to me when he brought the producers here to Chicago before he took it to Broadway. He said that, you know, I learn a lot from Chicago audiences. They know what they like. They know what's good. They know what's not good. And, you know, all these big fancy Broadway producers and actors and talent, they learn from Chicago audiences. So you have some impact in that when you go to see some of these shows. So what else is out there right now that we need to go and see?
Well, hey, before the break, you mentioned the Nutcrackers. So we have the Joffrey Ballet is doing their traditional Nutcracker at the auditorium. And this is, was it last year or the year before? They did a whole new production. So it's really spectacular, something to see if you haven't seen that. And then over at the House Theater of Chicago, they are doing what they call a ballet-free version of the Nutcracker.
Really?
So, and that's sort of in the traditional house style where they're using a lot of movement, a lot of magic. It's that, too, is just a really, really wonderful production, but not the ballet. And I think if, there's another Ballet Chicago is doing the Nutcracker over at the Athenaeum Theater. So you really, you know, to experience this story, it's really, you know, and the Joffrey's Nutcracker is told through the lens of the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago. So that's a uniquely Chicago production. Of course, the House Theater of Chicago is a uniquely Chicago theater, started here, I don't know how many years ago, probably 20 years ago now. And they're a theater that really has their very strong and different aesthetic, doing the actual story of the Nutcracker and not the ballet. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, some texters wrote in saying that the Marriott Lincolnshire right now is showing Oliver.
Yes.
And so we wanted to mention that because they were on the show and performed here, and they are magnificent. We had them on the TV morning news the other day, and the little kids especially, the level of perfection for these little kids, which you really see in Oliver. is quite amazing, and it's one of my favorite musicals of all time. I think it was the first one that I ever saw when I was a little
kid. Really?
I think
so. Wow.
Pretty sure. So, you know, highly recommending that, as a lot of people are. Some people are asking, what can you tell us about this new show that's at the Chicago Children's Theater called the Beatrix Potter Holiday Tea Party? Do you know anything about that?
I do. This is actually, they say, you know, get dressed up and come and have some hot chocolate. And I think it's really, it's something that they've created using the stories and the characters from Beatrix Potter and creating this holiday tea party for families that's incredibly charming and I think fun for all ages, really.
What can you tell us about some of the irreverent holiday shows which are out there right now?
Well, the Waltzing Mechanics is doing Elle's Stories Holiday Train, which is they do these different Elle stories, you know, all throughout the year, but these ones are specific to holiday experiences that people have, and they're actual experiences from riding the Elle. So and you know the great tradition of the holiday train in Chicago sort of ties into that.
Right.
And of course, Goodman's doing Santa Land Diaries, which is a very, the David Sedaris piece, which is a very irreverent piece.
There's a show that is, I'm not exactly sure where this is being performed, but it's called The Golden Girls, The Lost Episodes, The Holiday Edition. Volume 2. And all I all I know is it's a very kind of hard R-rated version of Golden Girls. Thank you for
being
a friend. May it take on a new meaning.
Well, Hell in a Handbag is a really great theater that does drag shows, essentially, but not sort of, you know, not a lip-syncing drag show, but it is, they did, you know, I think their, you know, kind of their signature piece maybe was Poseidon, an upside-down musical. I think that's what it was called. Anyway, they perform over at, they generally perform over at Stage 773.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. You can look on our website to find out where this Golden Girls are. They've done several Golden Girls shows, and I will tell you, they are hilarious, and the drag is perfection, and they are just, it is so, you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, you sort of don't expect to have a, you know, a heartwarming experience. You expect it to be irreverent, but they always bring something to it that that makes it really very, very special in terms of, you know, you actually have some emotion. And, I mean, if you're a Golden Girls fan, which I sure am,
all the better.
Then you're going to love it.
Yeah, all the better. I know Second City does kind of an irreverent holiday show. I know they're putting on a review at the Copley Theater that's called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly Sweater for the holiday season. So you may want to check that out through Second City's website and what other shows they have coming on. People want to get info on the League of Chicago Theaters, what's playing out there right now, and how to get half-price tickets. What's the best way to do that?
So ChicagoPlays.com is the informational website that will tell you about everything that's going on. And HotTix.org will give you all the shows that you can get for 50% off. Both of them are searchable in many different ways. So take a look at both and see what you can find.
Good deal. Happy holidays to you, Deb, if I don't talk to you. Deb Clapp, Executive Director, League of Chicago Theaters. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean.
We're having a swinging little party with all of our friends. We're hoping you dig the invitation, make a plan to attend. We're going to be singing jingle bells until the holidays end. A
swinging little Christmas time.
It is 11:13. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. This is fantastic. A swinging little Christmas time. Chicago's very own Jane Lynch's A Swinging Little Christmas Time is coming back to the Chicago area for shows all over the suburban area. Jane joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Really good. Looking forward to coming home for Christmas.
I'm
doing our little show.
Cannot wait for these shows. This show that you do with Kate Flannery, who everyone knows from The Office, and Tim Davis, who's the vocal arranger on Glee, just puts on a really fun night of music, but also hilarious songs, traditional songs. Really, really, really great. When did you start doing this?
We did it about 4 years ago. We recorded the album. We did it on our own nickel. We chose our own public domain Christmas songs. And we have a 5-piece band that we've been touring with, the three of us, for a couple of years at that point. Now, of course, we're up to about 5 or 6 years together. And Tony Guerrero of the Tony Guerrero Quintet arranged all of the music. And that song you just heard, Swingin' Little Christmas, he wrote that. There's a couple of new songs, actually like 3 or 4 new songs that Tony wrote. But they sound like they've been around since like the late 50s, early 60s, when the bulk of the Christmas music we still listen to that endures was written and recorded.
I got to say, I mean, I enjoy the tunes, but the song Sentimental Christmas is my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I'm a sentimental kind of guy myself.
Yeah.
It's a rather kind of a little bit of an irreverent Christmas song.
Indeed.
Love that.
Well, anytime you get Kate Flannery contributing to a song, you're going to have a little irreverence and a little buffoonery.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be Thursday the 12th, Friday the 13th, and Saturday the 14th, Sunday the 15th, but different locations. Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be at City. Yeah, Thursday. Go ahead. Yeah, Batavia, right? Isn't that Thursday?
Exactly. Batavia Fine Arts Center on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday at the Rouse Center out in Crystal Lake.
Yeah,
and,
great place.
Sunday the 15th at the City Winery in the in the West Loop. So lots of opportunities. Two shows at the City Winery. So plenty of opportunities to see you. I'm amazed that you even have time to do this, Jane, to be honest. You're one of the busiest people that I know.
Well, I have a lot, you know, it looks like I'm busy, but I have a lot of free time. And although I have been kind of busy lately, you know, I did the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel through this spring and all of the summer. And that just dropped. So on Amazon on Friday, the entire third season. So I've been doing promotion for that. Busy with that.
How much fun is it to be on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? I mean, every moving part of that show is top quality, hilariously funny. I mean, it is, you know, it's gone from this little show on Amazon that nobody thought would catch on to being an Emmy Award winning show.
Yeah, and you nailed it when you said every aspect of it. Yeah, soup to nuts. It's the best thing on television. I mean, it really captures the era and the optimism, and the music is so wonderful, and the wardrobe and the colors and the specificity. Just to look at it, it's a delight for the eyes.
Nice that there is you know, some Chicago connection other than yourself. That there's like a Chicago connection to it all.
Yeah, Alex Borstein and both and Rachel Brosnahan, both of them are from Highland Park.
Yeah.
Rachel grew up in Highland Park. I think she was born in Milwaukee. So it's a pretty amazing thing. And then of course there's me. So there's, you know, I'm a regular this season. So of the regulars, three of us grew up in Chicago.
Yeah, I would argue that's what makes it so great, that there's so much Chicago,
I would too.
So much Chicago connection to it all.
I would too.
What else is on your plate right now? I know you're doing the game show also, right?
Well, I haven't done the game show in about a year, but they slow the roll on the letting those on airing those episodes. So I think there's still a few that haven't aired yet. And it's one of those things. We're like special teams. We're kind of like on the bench waiting to be called in.
Okay.
So we never know for sure if we're coming back. And it looks like I have a couple of things on the horizon that I can't really talk about because I got in trouble for talking about them at the end. Because nothing's ever for sure until you show up that first day and the camera starts rolling.
Yeah, and even then they want you to wait, right? Before you,
you start
talking about things.
Exactly.
This is a great time, isn't it, to be an actor, to be a producer, and director, with all the online platforms, and work is being done mm-hmm. that probably would have never gotten done before?
Yes, absolutely. There's so many platforms now, and I think there's some of the best television ever is happening right now. Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and YouTube and then, of course, the networks and HBO and Showtime. And there are so many. They're so hungry for content, and usually that means that sometimes any piece of what can end up on television, but
right.
it doesn't seem to be the overwhelming case. What it does seem is that these platforms are being really smart, and they're offering deals to proven people and taking chances as well on other people and kind of allowing the showrunner to speak. I think it's the era of the showrunner. So there's not a lot of notes, when people aren't getting bombarded with notes from people who probably have no business opining on how to create a television show. Kind of seems to be what the networks were. And even the networks now are like, here's some money, do your show. We'll have a note here and there, but you do your show.
Well, that's a good thing, because normally they would have been very involved in the past. I guess they've sort of had to bend to, like, if they don't give you the creative freedom, you'll take a project to Netflix or Hulu or, one of the other projects that seem to let people, go crazy with whatever they want to do.
It's true. And then there are, some of these, they're just giving them these huge deals. There's so much money at play. And that's a pretty amazing thing, too.
That's amazing. Isn't that amazing there was a time when actors, if somebody pitched them a television idea, they wouldn't even look at it because it was just television.
Yeah.
And now, Scorsese, De Niro, Pacino, all of them are, mm-hmm. Doing their projects for Netflix now.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got like Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston doing, Reese had that show on HBO, and now she's got a show on Apple TV, another new platform, and Disney Plus. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. So it's a lot of people are going to television. It's shorter form. And, it's also the commitment is no longer 22 episodes. So, you do 8 to 10 episodes, which it means that it's really only a handful of months out of the year. And you can do, I could do 2 shows now if I wanted, and I will.
Yeah, good.
It's a sentimental Christmas, that special time of year. For all the Yuletide memories we hold so dear,
like the time we all went sledding,
or the carols door to door,
or the time that Mom got drunk and passed out on the bathroom floor.
It's a sentimental
Christmas with Jane Lynch and Tim Davis and the hilarious Kate Flannery. It's all part of the big show, the Swingin' Little Christmas Tour that's swinging into Chicago next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here in Chicago. Jane Lynch on the phone lines with us. Is it just nonstop laughter hanging out with Kate all of the time? Or hanging out with...
Yes.
Kate, rather. Yes.
Yeah, and Tim's quite funny himself, too. The three of us and the band, and they're all really funny guys, too. But, yeah, Kate is a singular experience that one deserves to spend several hours with Kate. Everybody in this world should have that joy. She is a lot of fun. And also performing with her, she's completely spontaneous. She doesn't plan anything ahead of time, whereas I'm more precise, and I kind of build this cage that I allow her to bounce around inside of.
In a nutshell, what is this Swingin' Little Christmas show?
Well, it's every song from our album and the five-piece band. And we, in between the songs, you know, when you're on State with Kate, there's going to be buffooneries and funny moments. And she and I have known each other since, you know, we met in Chicago in the late 80s, early 90s. And we really love being on stage together. We have a particular dynamic that I don't have with anybody else. Nobody makes me laugh as hard as Kate Flannery does. And she's just as she was on the, you know, The Office. She's just kind of, you never know what she's going to do. She's off the top of her head. And so I have the joy of trying to rein her in gently and hopefully to great comic effect.
Yeah, the show is so entertaining. It's Thursday at Batavia Fine Arts Center. It's Friday and Saturday at the Rouse Center for the Arts in Crystal Lake. And then two shows Sunday the 15th at the City Winery. You can get tickets at janelynchofficial.com. You get tickets and more info, janelynchofficial.com. And Jane, we're looking forward to seeing you guys on our WGN TV morning news next Friday. We're going to have a good time.
We're going to sing. We're going to sing a song for y'all.
Oh, that's nice. Well, maybe we'll join in as well then.
I would love that. We would love to have you join in.
Jane, it's great to talk to you. Have a great day today.
Great to talk to you.
See you soon. There's Jane Lynch. And that is going to wind it up for us today. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News. See my one-on-one interview with the legendary Clint Eastwood tomorrow, plus the Golden Globe nominations will be announced. We'll have that for you live.